Our thought is a hands-on project. And I know that's a little different, but that's what me and you are. We're a hands-on project. And I'd ask you if you would, you'd pray for us. I come about this thought, I got to thinking earlier in the week all the things that Jesus done and God just does that, you know, he just does in an instant, and he can just, I got to thinking about how he spoke everything in existence. You know, you find in the scriptures where he created the heavens and the earth, and it said he just spoke. And he created the heavens and earth, and I mean, it was just like that right there. And then it said the evening and the morning was the first day, and then did one on, and he created the firmament. And he said then the evening and the morning was the second day, and then the grass and the trees, and the evening and the morning was the third day. He just spoke all those things. All that, he just said it. I can't imagine having that kind of power. But then he said, when it come to man, he said, we'll create a man in our own image. And he made him spiritually. But he took his hands and he reached down in the dirt of the ground and he formed a man. And he began a project right then. It was a hands-on project. And everything about me and you is a hands-on project. And I don't know how much I'll read or I want to try to get through this as quick as possible because I don't want to worry nobody's patience. I want you to get it.
Amen.
There's a part in this to do with sanctification, and we'll talk about that. We're a hands-on project. Once you're saved, and when you get saved, it's a hands-on project. It's personal. You know, he's talking about Elijah and Elisha, and you go over there and you read about Elisha and that Shunammite woman, and he come there to their house, and she told her husband, let's build him a room. And she built a room on the house and had him a place to come and rest. And that woman, that Shunammite woman, is a perfect picture of the Lord's church. And Elisha in this, he's not God, don't get me wrong, and she wasn't the church. But he's a picture of the Lord, of God. It's a picture of God. Anyway, they let that Elisha, the man of God, the Bible says, they fixed him a place to stay. And we need to prepare a place for God here when he comes by and visit. Not that he just visit, that he'd make his abode, the comforter would stay here. And that's what we're trying to do. We've done it by the book. We come from an arm that come down through the years to where he'd have a place to come and make his abode. But anyway, this child, they had a child. This man, this Shunammite woman had a child. And the man, he was out in the field with his father. And he said, get him. He said, oh, my head. That's a picture of a lost person coming under conviction and realizing they're lost. And he said, get him to his mother. And I want you to know he knew he needed to be. And that's a picture for the church. And so I didn't know he could get him to the mother, and she held him in her arms. But she realized there was only so much she could do. And that's the same way with us. We can hold them, we can be with them, we can pray with them, but there's only so much we can do. And she knew she needed to get her child to the man of God. So she headed out, and she got him there, and she got him to the man of God. And the Bible says, just like when God created man, he took and formed him, and then he breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. You find in the scriptures where Elisha laid across that young man, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and he took his hands, and he held his hands, a hands-on project. When you and God, it is personal. It was a hands-on project. So he breathed into him. And I want you to know he went back out to come in, and that young man sneezed 7 times to show completion. And I believe it's a perfect picture of somebody being saved by God's grace. It is a hands-on project. And when you get saved by God's grace, so listen, there come a time when Adam, he ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. He realized he was a sinner and he had broke God's law. He didn't have the faith to keep God's law. And listen, he broke his law. And since then, all mankind have had to have a Savior. And Jesus said he would be willing to come. He would be willing to sacrifice himself. And he came and he gave his life. They nailed his hands to a cross. They nailed our hands. Oh, Project, I want you to know he loved you enough that they drove those spikes through his hands and that you could be saved. It is personal. You've got to get that. You've got to understand it's between you and God. That Jesus, yes, he come and died for the whole world. But when it thought, I think about me. That's what it means something to me. It means something he died for Mary. It means something he died for Larry. It means something he died for you. Amen. But listen, when I think about what he done for me, it was hands on. He loved me. And so he came. He set up his church. You know what he done when he set up his church? He called unto whom he would. He prayed and he ordained him. You know what he done? It was a hands-on project. He laid his hands on them. It was personal to him. He set her up. That's how it's all done. And by his hands, by his handiworks, he created the heavens. He created, that's what the Psalms 19:1 said. Honey, to think about all been changed in a twinkling eye, and he saved my soul just like that. He come into me, and it was hands on. It was personal, just like that Shunammite son. It was personal. He was right with me, and he breathed in me, and I became a living soul. And my spirit had died to God. I was separated from him, but then I was regenerated, made alive. It was personal. It was hands-on, a hands-on project. Hell, you look it up. I tried all week. My wife, I know I drove her crazy. I said over and talked to Google. Hands-on project definition. It just ain't no buckle down definition when you give that many words. But it talks about something that somebody does with their hands. They don't just talk about it. If God so loved the world, if that's all he'd ever done. But he gave his son. He didn't just talk about it. It ain't something you call and explain to somebody. You do it. It's hands on. It's personal to you. So I begin to think about a definition, and I'm trying to, boy, this is going everywhere. All week, I've just been tore all to pieces, and I thought, Lord, I can't finish this in an hour, and I'm probably going to finish it in 15 minutes. But I thought about all the things he done for me because he loved me, and yet he's still doing these things. And I read about the song over there, just give me a minute. I want to talk about a little bit about sanctification.
Amen.
Because after you save your soul, you become sanctified inside. Now, this body here will never completely be sanctified as long as we have breath in it. Someday it will be. Someday he's going to change it in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, just like that. Just like he saved your soul in a twinkle, in a blink of an eye. It wasn't a work in progress. When he come in you, he was there. I want you to realize someday in a twinkling of an eye, he's the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be changed. Listen, just like that. And then this body will be likened unto his. It will be holy. It'll be sanctified. I want you to know it's going to happen someday. But here in this flesh, it just can't be. But that don't mean we're to just go on about our business. We're to strive to be holy. We're to strive to do the best we can. Amen. Got old Pendleton's manual here. A good brother Billy Griggy given me when I first on my call to preach, and a year or two afterwards, and he hit the pages is worn and yellow. But it says, we believe that sanctification is a process by which, according to the will of God, we are made partakers of his holiness. That in it's a progressive work. That in the beginning and regeneration, and that it's carried on the hearts of believers. In other words, he saves your soul. But then the flesh, it's a progressive work. By the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the sealer and the comforter, and the continued use of the appointed means, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, and watchfulness and prayer. And this is how you become, the flesh becomes sanctified. It begins in regeneration when you're born again. A lot of people, I read you what you're supposed to believe. That's one of our articles of faith. You say, I don't agree with it. Then you're not a Baptist. That's all I know to tell you. That's what we believe. As Baptists, we believe that. I believe that. And you should believe that. I'm going to encourage you to believe that. That you, when you're saved, sanctification begins, and it does not end until you've reached as far as you're going to go. So don't be lazy. That's all I know today. Study and go as far. And some people make it at a young age. You know why? They applied yourself quicker than me and you. That's why some of them say the good die young. It's because they become sanctified as far as they're going to get further than me and you. Yeah. There's some of them I know come went a lot further than me in a whole half the time. Yeah. But sanctification is a hands-on prize. I will read one. I might read a couple. Amen. John 10 and 28 and 29. If we can get turned to that. It says, I give unto them, Jesus doing the speaking, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of what? Out of his hand. It's a hands-on project. He said, my Father which gave them is greater than I all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen to me. He holds you. Once you're saved by God's grace, I want you to know, I heard somebody tell me this week, Baptists just don't preach on sin enough. I said, come over. Visit with us a little while. I'll tell you something about sin. I know all about it. I've committed it all my life, and I hate it. I hate it. It is destroying me, and it is destroying all of us. And that's the very reason we'll have to die someday after a little while. That's why we'll have to be changed in a twinkling eye, because this body, as the condition it's in, it ain't fit for the kingdom of heaven. But once you're his, it ain't nothing can pluck you out of his hand. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art the Father, we are the clay. Thou art the potter, we are the work of thy hand. You are a hands-on project. Every once in a while, my wife will tell me to do something. She'll say, do this right here, and I'll go in there, and I'll fool with it long enough to convince her I don't know what I'm doing. And she'll say, just get out of the way. I'll do it myself. If you want something done right, just do it yourself. He was the only one that can do it. He's the only one that has that authority, that power Listen, I want it done right, and that's the reason I want him to do it. Amen. So you're the clay, but he just reached down there and he just picked up some old dust. We find one place in the scripture where Jesus took it and he spit on it. He made a little clay out of it. That's what he done. And he rubbed it on this old blind man's eyes and told him to go down there and dip himself in the Jordan. I believe it was 7 times. And he got eyes. He could see. It was hand-on project, you see. So he takes us after we get saved by God's grace. Then there is a work. The Bible says work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Most of the time we'll tell them that while they're up here seeking. You work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. I ain't going to say that's all wrong, but what it's talking about, once you're saved. Amen. Then a sanctification begins, and you begin to work out your salvation from then on with fear and trembling. So he gets you on there. And that's what he was doing with Adam. He was making him something. He's making him something. Not Adam something. Him something. And see, that's what the key to all this is. You're not your own. This temple don't belong to you. It belongs to him. And we're to give it to him, and that's just a reasonable service. And so he's got us up there, and he's spinning you. And every once in a while, something comes up that just... He squeezes just a little harder. That's all I know to say. And it hurts. You know, but there's so many times. You ever watch some of them people know how to do that? Their hands just lay so lightly on there. And it just, all of a sudden, it just starts making something. And it just don't, and this looks, and I couldn't do it. I know as soon as I touch it, it'd go boom and then fling. But somebody like God, and only God can, he can take us and he can lay them hands apart and just start gently. You know, make a little something there. A little something. And he finally gets something there that he knows that that's as good as it's ever going to get. I don't ever know that. I'll work on a chainsaw. I'll get out there, hands on. I mean, hands on project. I'll get her where she'll crank on 2 times. I think, if I lean it up right now just a little bit, I believe it's trying to flood just a little, just a tad. And I'll work her just a little bit more. Next thing you know, it's all to pieces. And I'm sitting out there thinking, why in the world did you do that? I don't know when to quit, but see, he knows when to quit. He knows when you've got as far as you're going to get. You're his hands-on project. And he gets you to a certain place. And what you are then are made, both body and soul, fit for his kingdom. That may not mean much to you. It does to me. And then someday after a while, they're going to put you in a grave. He's going to raise that body up out of that ground in what he's made it to be. And he's going to take it home to him. And then we're going to be with him forever, both body and soul, holy, sanctified.
Amen. Amen.
A hands-on project. That's what you are. You are a hands-on project.
Woo!
You got no one to quit. No one to quit. He knows what he's done with us. You guys are on, brother. Well, I was on.